This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there, everybody. I'm Dr. Rob Zammit, and this is the Doggy Pod.
You're sounding very chipper today, Rob. I'm Dr. Rob Zammit's producer, Stephen Peters, and thank you very much for joining us today.
And we're going to have a pretty good day today. We're going to be talking about spider bites in dogs. How common are they?
Well, I always wondered, you know, can a spider bite a dog? Because they've got, some hairy dogs at least, furry dogs. It must be quite difficult for the poor little spider. Hang on, we shouldn't be taking sides with the spider. We're also going to talk about... Speaking of coats, is there such a thing as doggy dandruff? Can dogs get dandruff, Rob?
Mm. We'll talk about it. And, of course, we've got a breed of the week, and this week it's the trusty Fox Terrier.
Oh, I love Fox Terriers.
Cute little dogs,
feisty little dogs, and I'm assuming need lots of things to do. But you'll tell us all about that in a minute. So what's been happening this week? Because I know there was something horrible did happen just recently, and you wanted to sort of just have a quick chat about it.
I just wonder if we've talked about it enough. Obviously not messages getting through to everybody. And what is happening is dogs are attacking children a little bit too frequently of late. We've heard of too many attacks, and one very, very catastrophic, sad attack where the child was killed. The child was down on the floor in a bouncer net, newborn child, and the dogs got in and whether they heard the baby cry or what it was.
It was a family dog.
Yeah, two family dogs. They heard probably a sound. If a baby cries, it's like that's a toy. Let's play with it. May not have even been a malicious attack, but they were big dogs and a newborn baby, and the end was absolutely disastrous. Disastrous for everybody. And so the real thing to say is please remember the rule. If a child is under 12 years of age, should not be left unsupervised with dogs.
Yeah, well, when you say dogs, I mean, I guess you mean any dog, even the family, the cutest of family dogs.
Yeah, you trust your dog so much because it is part of your family. But at the end of the day, respect the fact that it's canine and it's got four really big canine teeth just to start with. And it has certain rules of their own that they have in their DNA because they are a pack animal. You know, they run in a pack. They have to follow the rules of the pack. And so they believe that a newborn coming in is a subordinate and that needs to follow certain rules as far as they're concerned. Unsupervised, they may take it upon themselves to ensure that the subordinate is following the rules by just grabbing them or shaking them.
Not realising, of course, the danger of that.
Yeah, and the damage they're doing. It's often not a malicious attack. You know, I had many years ago, I had to put a dog to sleep. They killed a child. The lady was just hanging the washing up, put the child down for a second, and this little, it was a bull terrier, came up, grabbed the child and just playing with it. That's all it was doing. But they're so powerful, that's what's going to happen. We have to be careful. We have the responsibility. We have a duty of care to newborns and to children right through to avoid that problem. It's not the child's fault. Very often it's not even the dog's fault, other than the dog is playing with the child. But you know, they mustn't play unsupervised with a child. If a child is less than 12 years of age, they must not be left unsupervised with any dog, not the family dog, next door neighbour's dog, or a big brute of a dog that you're very worried about. I mean, that's obvious, the real big aggro dog, if you have one. Why would anyone need an aggro dog is beyond me. They should be a good family dog. But you still have to respect the fact that you know child. The statistics, these statistics are not ones I have made up. This is worldwide statistics. A child under 12 years of age should not be left unsupervised with dogs.
Because sometimes even the biggest of dogs are absolute sooks. You know, they're really, they love a cuddle and they just sit on the couch and you think, well, that's a very passive dog, even though it's quite big.
Yeah, and if the baby happens to be on the couch or if the baby's on the floor and they want to sit on the baby, that can be just as catastrophic. They're not attacking it, they're just, oh, I'll just sit with you, bang, right on top of the baby.
So I'll get controversial here then. Why is it then if the dog has no history of attacking people or children or anything, why does it have to be put down?
Happens in every walk of life. If a shark attacks someone in the water and they can get to the shark, they'll kill the shark. Gosh, the shark is just in its natural environment and looking for food, not looking for to take humans out.
No.
If a shark really was thinking, I'm going to take a lot of humans out, they'd go to a popular beach and get right in there.
It'd be like a smorgasbord.
Oh, unbelievable. They want to do that. And very often the dog doesn't want to kill a child or hurt a child.
Yeah.
But once it happens, the way our laws are structured, that's often what will occur. The dog will be put to sleep. People worry that the dog will repeat the attack or the whatever it's done. Who knows? It's not for me to say. More often than not, it's not the dog's fault, to be honest. It's people not supervising their children. That's what we have to do.
Well, that would be dreadful for the vet to be putting down a dog, a perfectly healthy, happy dog.
Yes.
That's done something it probably doesn't even know what it's done.
Yeah, but when that's happened to me now 3 times, the dogs are not aggressive, they're happy, to see me, they trust me, and yet I have to do the ultimate thing to this poor animal under police supervision to make sure it's done. You have to do it, and it's a dreadful thing, but it's dreadful for everybody. And of course, it doesn't bring back the child, doesn't bring back the wounds on their face if it's a severe attack, doesn't make them heal any better. So let's not have that happen in the first place. Certainly to anyone that's listening to this, please, please, and tell your friends, if you've got children and dogs, do not leave a child unsupervised with any dog. I've had dogs that I trust with my life all the time, have those. But I still would not leave them unsupervised with any children, not my own children when they were growing up, and certainly not my grandchildren, but any children. It's just not what you do. It's the statistics there, and they bear out the facts that children left unsupervised with dogs are apt to get bitten badly.
All right, on the subject of being bitten, can dogs be bitten by spiders? I guess maybe some dogs can, ones that have short coats, but what about other dogs with longer coats? Rob, is that something that's common?
Yeah, still very common, because most common place for a dog to be bitten by a spider is on the face, because they'll see something moving and they'll put their face there where this little critter is moving, and even the longest coat dog has exposed lips and areas like that, and the spider will bite. Now, we have an extremely poisonous spider in Australia called the funnel web. The funnel web spider, as you know, can kill a human within minutes, literally. They're poison so bad.
The funnel web, really?
The funnel web is a very, very poisonous spider and can be quite aggressive. Even people are told that live in the areas where there are funnel webs, even be careful of your swimming pool that you don't have a funnel web down in the pool having a swim. with you. Very, very, you know, aggressive spider too. They'll come out and have a go, especially the females.
Mm.
And they can kill, but they kill humans and one species of monkey, and that's it. Their poison is...
Oh, really?
Yeah. A dog's a very in total no reaction. When I say no reaction, no poisonous reaction. The most common reaction we see with dogs is face swelling up, like an allergic type reaction. We will see that very often with spider bites. More likely, we'll see a particular allergic type reaction where the face swells where it's been bitten. Then you'll see any seizuring or any other problems of spider bites. Even the redback, you know, can cause a lot more sickness. They'll vomit and things like that, but it's usually not going to kill a dog. Most of the spiders we have around our homes won't kill dogs. However, they will cause this allergic reaction. You've got to get them to the vet. The vet may want to give them something to stop them vomiting if that's occurring. And they usually will give them an injection of cortisone and maybe even an antihistamine combined to decrease the allergic reaction. If the dog's scratching a lot, they'll give them a tranquilizer until all those other drugs work so they don't scratch, you know, big scratch marks on their face.
But, would they get bitten on their paws?
They can. They get bitten anywhere, of course, and it's certainly possible they would get bitten on their paws or just laying there, even a long-coated dog. If a spider decides, oh, there's an area I want to go, and it goes into the coat, that's even a possibility. And the most common area is the face, but yes, their paws is the second most common area, or around, you know, the under the tail area where there's less hair.
Mm.
That's another area where they'll get bitten. It occurs not uncommonly, especially in the warmer months when spiders are more active and dogs are out there more active, watching all these things crawling around. And dogs are inquisitive creatures, so they will go up and have a look and see what it is. And that's when they get bitten.
So it's one of those things, there's nothing you can really do. But if your dog's face starts to swell or its paws start to swell, that's possibly
that's
what it is.
I mean, really, there is little you can do to avoid a spider bite. I guess you could spray the area, but that's putting a lot of toxins in the area.
Especially down at doggy level. So so you're saying there's not many spider types of spiders that can actually kill a dog?
Well, some of the not locally, not the ones that we see in most cities around the world. It's more the, you know, when you go out to other areas where you see some of the real nasty big spiders, they could certainly kill a dog. But dogs, we don't take our dogs into those sort of bush areas generally.
But do we know why that is? Like, why do dogs have this immunity? That's bizarre. Yet the same bite can kill a human.
Well, it is bizarre, but there are certain things that would kill a dog that don't kill a human as well. For example, grapes. Yeah,
really?
Simple thing, grapes. We think of grapes as, they're good to eat and they're great to make wine. But if you give them to your dogs and it knocks out their kidneys. So each animal has its own anatomy and each animal has its own physiology, and that's the important, their own metabolism, how they get rid of certain things, certain toxins in their body, and what they can't get rid of. And so they can't get rid of the toxin that's in grapes, we do. They can't. It knocks out their kidneys quite badly. If you know, dog's getting into fruitcake, for example, that's great. Fruitcakes have grapes, you know, dried grapes, sultanas, and currants, and it's really bad for dogs.
So your dog will never know the joy of a good Shiraz.
Unfortunately, not. You should not be giving your dog any of your Grange Hermitage.
Oh, that's not
for those people in America, I guess it'd be a Robert Mondavi Red, some of his best reds in California.
You do know your reds, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Red Man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode's kind of ended up being a lot about dogs' coats and things and stuff.
Yeah, we have talked about that a lot, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, on the same subject is dandruff. Have you ever seen a dog with dandruff?
Oh, gosh, it's very common, especially in puppies for some reason as they grow. When they start going through, I guess, puberty, that's when I see the most amount of dandruff in coats. Nothing too terrible.
Just dry skin.
Dry skin. And so I recommend two things when I see that. Adding some oil to the diet. And it might be just a fun thing for the dog as well. Just adding once a week some sardines in oil. They love that.
Oh, really?
Some vegetable oil that you have. Omega-3 oils are fantastic. You can get special oils for dogs. Evening primrose oil is brilliant for dogs. For some reason.
What, in their food?
Yeah, you get the capsules.
Yeah.
And you either cut the capsule and squeeze one or two in the food, or one or two capsules in the food, as long as they take them and swallow it down, that's fine. Eating primrose oil often helps dogs with a bit of allergy. It's not like a curative, but it just helps, a bit of aid. And then, of course, washing the dog in a particular anti-dandruff type shampoo. There's a few of them that you can buy on the market.
What, canine anti-dandruff shampoo?
You can, yeah. You can get those anti-dandruff type shampoos that gets rid of it. But there was one years ago that was called Selene for dogs. And then someone found it was really good for dandruff in people. So it was called Selsun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that was originally for dogs?
For dogs, yeah. And they tried marketing for both, but I think it was in the same bottle, just different labels. And people said, you're giving me my dog shampoo to put in my hair. So they stopped the veterinary market. But it's selenium sulfide is the active constituent. So wherever you are in the world, if you look at find a shampoo with selenium sulfide, that really does get rid of dandruff after a couple of washes.
Does that stop dryness in the skin?
It gets rid of the dead skin that's there and allows the good skin to just come through quite easy. So it's very, very good, same as in humans.
So do you reckon most dogs would like sardines?
Love them. Love
really
them.
Salty and...
I have not found a dog that doesn't like sardines, especially in oil. Oh, boy. No, I haven't found any dogs. In fact, I have to fight mine off when I've got my sardines on toast. Oh, gosh, yes.
I love sardines on toast.
Oh, and so does my dog. Oggy thinks they're great.
How is Oggy, by the way?
Oggy is doing really well. Yes.
How old is Oggy now?
Let's see. Well, he'll be coming up 4 months, nearly 4 months. I went to first obedience class last week, and Oggy would have been the best dog there, but he wasn't there.
Oh, just a proud dad saying that.
Yeah, he wasn't there, actually. It's really good. It's like when you go to college or university, you have an orientation week where you don't go to any lectures there. Well, this was orientation for dog school. It was really a lot of fun, a lot of people at this particular club. It was great. 30-odd people coming in.
So 30 people with 30 puppies.
Will be next week when I go there with Oggy. He'll have other puppies there. So there were classes going with the bigger dogs that have already been there for a while. But, it's a good club, and I've joined it and looking forward to my doggy obedience lessons to have more with Oggy. I've done the obedience since 1967 with dogs.
I was going to say, you have the skills to take the class. So why are you taking a class? Why aren't you just teaching him homeschooling?
Great question. I am an obedience instructor, qualified obedience instructor, but doing homeschooling is a bit like homeschooling with kids, providing you give them a lot of social interactions outside, the home at home time. That's what kids need. Same with dogs. So he's going there for schooling, and do I get everything right in life? Boy, I certainly don't. Just ask anyone that knows me. So
he's telling the truth, folks.
What I'm looking forward to is the instructor saying, oh, you're doing this a bit or you're doing that a bit, just to fine tune me as I go along. And also, of course, the socialization for Oggie. Meeting other dogs, meeting other people, essential, essential, essential for a dog. He's already been doing that. I take him out for his walks every day, twice a day. And during those walks, he meets other dogs and meets people because socialization is important. Now, people say, but he's very young. What if he gets a disease or something? Sure, I could keep him home, wrap him in cotton wool. He doesn't get any problems. Then I save the body but lose the soul. I don't want to destroy his temperament. I want him to be out there enjoying people and being part of the social structure of our society.
Is he getting on well with other dogs?
Oh, he likes guarding his dad. Like, sees another dog, he'll bark, and then I'll say, come on, and we go over, then he's fine. Oh, okay. And he plays with them. He's really not an aggressive dog. He just barks to let them know, hey, I'm here with my dad, and I'll protect my dad. And he's only just coming up 4 months. But, you'll see him a bit on Instagram and our Facebook page.
Yeah, keep posting shots of Oggie. I'd love to see him in class.
Oh, definitely. Well, you'll see a few this week coming up. We'll see a few little exercise, obedience exercises that I do. This is before class anyway, before we start the class. Just a few things like teaching him to walk beside me, teaching him to sit, to drop, those sort of, and even to come and sit in front of me. Just little things that we're getting him started with.
All right, what we're trying to do sort of pretty regularly is get Rob to tell us about, really popular breeds of dogs that you might be thinking of getting one, or you know somebody with one, or it's just really interesting to know about other dogs, other breeds, other than your own. And this week we're talking Fox Terriers.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, Stephen, if you're watching TV with children, you'd always see a Fox Terrier.
Where?
Oh, on TV, always together. Kids and Fox Terriers. They make ideal children's pets. I mean, they are a terrier, but they're playful and they're friendly. They just love companionship. Very loving dogs, Fox Terrier. They're a real wash and wear dog. I think that's the other reason people had them.
Wash and wear?
Yeah, they're smooth coat. You can get the wire-haired ones, take a bit more work. The wire-haired ones, beautiful dogs. Good friends of mine have had a lot of wire-haired Fox Terriers, and they've all said the same thing. They really, really love them. A chap called Leon, I won't mention his surname, but a friend of mine he and his wife, they would take this little dog everywhere, just love this little dog, and just said that she was just playful with people, accepted other dogs, playful with other dogs. They lived near the beach. She'd walk down to the water all the time with them. And they're just an ideal dog. The smooth-haired Fox Terrier, as I say, that's the wash and wear dog, because they're short, very short hair. Don't drop a lot of coat because they don't have a lot of coat. They do drop coat, but not too much. Wash them and they're dry in no time at all if they get dirty. And they're very, very intelligent. Respond well to training and respond well to children. I do find them active dog. They've got plenty of energy, so they do need some time to run around and destroy that energy inside them. Otherwise, they'll destroy your house.
So get them out there and enjoy life. They have to be active.
Otherwise, they're going to be barking all the time in the backyard and causing problems and digging holes or coming into the house and destroying things. They are an active dog, but a beautiful, beautiful dog. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend them to someone with kids.
What sort of coats do they come in?
The smooth head, that's a very short...
Colour-wise?
Black and white, you see them. A lot of white with some black patches. Mm-hmm. You can sometimes have what's called a tri, where they have black, white and some tan. The wire heads have a little bit more colour variety in them. You see a bit more tan in the wire head Fox Terrier. And they come, you've got the standard Fox Terrier and you've got the miniature Fox Terrier. The miniature Fox Terrier is the one that I'm always thinking about for children. Smooth-haired miniature Fox Terrier for kids, ideal.
Now, do you remember years ago, long before both of our times, was it His Master's Voice?
A Fox Terrier.
It was a picture of a dog sitting next to a gramophone. Yep. So we're talking about you know, God, 80 years ago or something or other.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a Fox Terrier.
And they were often used in magic shows because they could be taught to sit in the hat for as long as you want them to. And the magician told them, okay, gave them the word to pop out, and out they come. Like, oh, where'd that dog come from? But they were just very, you know, very intelligent dogs, responsive dogs, love to train, love to please people. And yes, they were used in all sorts of shows and, you know, different shows where dogs were used. You'd often see a Fox Terrier playing the role.
All righty, that is the end of this episode. It's a bit short, isn't it, really? But Rob's got places to go, dogs to save, all that sort of stuff, you know. Remember that there's lots of episodes that you can listen to. I think there's about 170 or 180 episodes of the Doggy Pod sitting there. So, you know, I'm sure you haven't heard all of them. And if you have, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll be back next time with a whole bunch of other stuff. And, of course, Instagram's the main place to follow us. Tell your friends, because there's always stuff being posted there. And we'll see you for the next episode.
And, look, having a new puppy like Oggy for me has been – it's been a long time. I keep getting a lot of the rescue dogs and older dogs. It's nice having a new pup, and it's reminded me – yeah, they're very active to start with, so you've got to give them plenty of time. But in giving that time to them, he's giving so much back to me. Just dogs love us so much. It's in their DNA. And so it's well worthwhile, if you've got a child, thinking about a puppy for that child.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you posted the other day where Oggy sleeps, which is in a crate at this stage, next to your bed.
Right next to the bed, right next to me.
So yep. Does he snore?
No, he doesn't. And last night was his first night sleeping outside the cage. One of the reasons I do like him in the cage is that everything's safe. Yeah, my shoes are safe, everything else is safe. Last night, I don't know, he just went and laid down somewhere else on one of the other beds, and I thought, okay, I'm going to trust you. And he was fantastic all night.
Is he toilet trained yet?
100%.
Wow.
100%. The breeders did a very good job with him at the start, and you know, access to grass to go to the toilet, Steve and Patty Morrissey. And now this puppy just about came toilet trained. Really good pup.
Excellent. Okay, we'll see you next time on the Doggy Pod.
All the best, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.